I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
And now, another episode of Rochester Peace Theatre.
Welcome to another edition of Rochester Peace Theatre. I'm Justine Page from WBEE, your host for this lovely podcast where we talk about all the happenings going on at Jiva Theatre and in the theatre world, if we can extend that far. It's a dream goal of mine. Hashtag 2018 goals. I am joined today by the luminous Steve Rosen. Rosen. I should have asked before we started.
Rosen like the Jew, not Rosen like the sporting thing.
It's my background of familiarity.
Right. Or if you're a musician, they use Rosen for the bows.
But right.
It is pronounced Rosen.
Rosen.
Congratulations. You have used the most common mispronunciation of my last name. So you hit right on it. First try.
Don't feel as terrible about it.
No, it's awesome.
Considering you forgot my name before the microphones were even on.
I did.
Welcome. It's recorded now.
Yeah, I thought you were Diana for a second. I don't know why.
But I feel also very honored by that because Wonder Woman is Diana.
Oh, yeah.
So even though he didn't mean to make that association, I'm running with it. Just to make myself feel better.
Thank you for having me here. It's really great to be here.
Thanks so much for coming in. You have a phenomenal play at Jiva Theatre. It's The Other Josh Cohen. And you are not just an amazing playwright, but you have an amazing resume. And I was doing, you know, the basic Facebook stalking and researching and Googling and everything.
Oh,
and I was like, I have seen you in so many things. Like, I've seen you everywhere.
Oh, that's so nice.
And
yeah.
The mustache, though, is what totally changes your face. You're very chameleon-like.
Yes, yes. If you want to know what Jewish Super Mario looks like, look no further.
I wasn't going to say it.
The show I co-wrote with David Rossmer, The Other Josh Cohen, is playing at Jiva now. And it, I appreciate... Excuse me. I appreciate all the kind words that you said about the show and about me and my career. But yeah, I'm one of these guys who I've been in a ton of stuff, but you wouldn't necessarily be able to sort of pick me out. I'm in a lot of things that you watch on a regular basis.
Right.
But I'm usually in the plate of it. I am not usually the protein. A lot of the times, I am the potato salad. Or the mac salad,
but
or
you
the
still,
meat sauce.
You still make up a good percentage. You just wanted to start throwing out plate ingredients.
Oh,
okay.
Man. I'm wearing my plates hat.
He is wearing his plates hat, and he said that he was at the game this past summer with the plates. My husband bought the hats, and I wanted to buy a shirt, and then that's kind of where that pandemonium ended.
Right,
sure. He got two hats, actually.
It's a great idea,
mm-hmm.
I got to say, as an illustration... A garbage plate is very difficult to tell exactly what it is
right.
from a drawing of it.
Right.
Because it looks like its name.
Right.
You know? But it was really fun to be, there's no place better to watch a baseball game, I think, than Frontier Field, because you can, for a very low price, basically sit on the field.
Yep.
And then when they do the fireworks, it's like you're in, like, I've never been so close to a firework in my life.
Really?
You are in the thick of it. It's right there, and the displays are beautiful.
Well, you haven't gone to a Canisius Lake Ring of Fire setup, because those can be terrifyingly close.
Oh, yeah. I definitely have not.
No. Now we have a new bucket list for you for when you come back to Rochester.
Can't wait to be terrified with entertainment.
Mm-hmm. It's a little scary.
That's the quote you never want above your show if you have something that opens. It's like the tagline is terrifyingly
entertaining. Yeah. Unless it's meant to be a horror movie or like a horror play.
Right. A horror play.
Yes. So I want to talk about The Other Josh Cohen, though, because I loved it. It was amazing. Like, so I like to go into these without trying to know what we're going to see, so that my reactions are purely organic. And my husband's the same way. I've made him be that way, actually. And he's not really a theater goer, so he doesn't have a ton of background except what he's seen at Jiva. So I never tell him what we're going to see, because I don't want to know either. I just know this is the name of the play. Your face is all over the front and all the images for the play. And I'm like, I don't know. I know this guy's local because we've talked about it before when we were doing kind of the preview for the season. But how did this get started?
Oh, that, first of all, thank you for saying nice things about the show. It means so much to me. It's such a personal story. I'm glad that you guys, that you didn't really know anything about it coming in. I think that is the best way to sort of see this show,
right?
Because it is about this one particular story and how it's told. And sort of the more you know going into it, the fewer surprises that you'll have. The surprises are sort of what we think makes it fun.
Yeah.
This show was born out of really procrastination. So David Rossmer and I, who wrote it, I was living in LA, and he's a dear friend of mine from growing up, from summer camp, not from Rochester, but we went to summer camp down in the Catskills.
Okay.
And he was visiting me in LA, and we had a bunch of television pitches. What that means is we had a bunch of ideas for TV shows, and through our agents, we're going to the big major networks and pitching our ideas to people to try and sell a show.
Right.
So this was the night before a major pitch at a major studio, and David and I were sitting in this place I was subletting in not a great neighborhood, but the place had a Nintendo 64 in it, which is sort of an older Nintendo system, and it had a bunch of old games, including Super Mario Kart. And so we put Super Mario Kart in, and we were going to play the games while we discussed our pitch for the next day. And you know how, like, if you don't start playing right away on a video game, that song, whatever the first song is, just kind of loops over and over again.
Yeah.
So after a while, we were sort of like singing this song because we were still chatting. And David said, this kind of sounds like a Neil Diamond song. Like, this could be like a Neil Diamond theme.
This is where Neil Diamond comes in.
Right. So on the wall of this guy's place where I was subletting, there was a guitar. He had a keyboard and drums. He was a musician.
Mm-hmm.
And so David grabbed the guitar off the wall. I headed over to the keyboard, and we were like, let's write a Neil Diamond song. So we used a Korean barbecue restaurant menu to make dummy lyrics. And that night, we wound up writing, I think, 6 or 7 songs that are in the show. Yeah.
Really?
Just the tunes. We wrote the tunes, not the lyrics and everything, but we got the sort of the bones. We created the bones of what this show was. And then we started talking, like, what could we do with this? And we started referencing a bunch of stories within both of our lives that we knew, because when you're very close friends with someone, you know all their stories backwards and forwards. So we started sort of talking, pitching our own life events. And our idea was, let's write a 2-person show for ourselves to do that could take place on an empty stage that's very producible. Because at this point, we've both been writing things. And the issue always in theater is budget, because there's little did we know that we would create something that would actually cost more than bare bones, for sure.
Right.
The illusion of an empty apartment is much more expensive than you would think. So the idea was, we were going to write a show just for me and him.
Mm-hmm.
And I would play this guy last year, and he would narrate the story from this point of view today. So we'd play the same person and the interesting thing was that they would be able to speak to one another. So like the idea of, would you be able to talk to yourself in the past? And how would you treat yourself in the past? Would you give yourself clues as to how to make things better? Or is it more effective if you just sort of let yourself go through your own path of life and observe yourself? And so when you're in the past, you don't understand why things are happening.
Right.
In the way that they're happening, but it is, you know, there's a big concept in our show. It's an old Jewish expression, beshert, which means meant to be. And a lot of what happens in life, it might not be able to be understood at the time, but a lot of it is beshert. So how this show came to Rochester is kind of beshert. We had done the show in New York. Before we had even finished writing it, someone submitted us into a theater festival, and we got accepted with a rough draft. So now, all of a sudden, like, oh, crap, now we got to write the show. So we knew we were going to be on stage, so we threw together a team of trusted friends and colleagues, and we created the first version at the New York Musical Theater Festival, or NYMPH, that's what they call it. And we wound up being the sort of lead story in the New York Times when they did an article on the festival, as they bookended their review of the entire festival with our show.
Oh my gosh.
And so they added another performance, and we won a bunch of awards at the festival, and then a commercial producer came on, and we had a New York production that was sort of kicked in the shins by Hurricane Sandy.
Oh, no.
But then a big commercial producer picked us up. We moved it out to the paper mill. And the show has been in rewrites and development, which is what happens to these kinds of shows, for a couple of years. And we had this amazing opportunity, this window, where we could put one production of the show up somewhere in the world. And I had been here a year and a half ago doing A Funny Thing Happened on the Way to the Forum at Jiva. And before I left, Mark Cuddy and I, who runs Jiva, he's the artistic director and just a wonderfully supportive artistic director who basically he said, we should find a way to get you back here and maybe it should be Josh Cohen if that's possible. And so from the moment I left, we were in conversation about how to make that show happen here. And he was willing to throw so much support behind it and behind me. And it really is beshert that this show, that it just so happened that it fit within the time frame that I was able to do it, that I could come home to Rochester to bring this very personal story that has references to people from this area. Their names, there's people name checked in the show who are from here.
That's great.
And two, and this is the thing that's very heavy and heady for me, is one of my hugest influences, one of the reasons that I got into this, like so many people, is because I had a teacher who was very important to me in high school. And I had a drama teacher here at Sutherland High School named Lori Dengler Dewey, who was, she was so mean to me at the exact right moment. She told me point blank, she said, "You are so talented, but you know how talented you are.
Right.
And so I got to put you in the chorus. You got to move some furniture, kid. Like, you got to move some furniture and let some other people play the parts and realize that that's what this business is." And that lesson, while very hard at the time, became a very, very important teachable moment for me.
Right, very humbling.
And the crazy thing is that there's a character in the show named Dewey who's named after Mrs. Dewey. And very, very sadly, on Thursday night during the show, Mrs. Dewey passed away. So she didn't get a chance to see the show. But an event happened during the show that night. We were still doing some fixes and touches on the show. An event happened that night where we had to stop the show for a second. And I had to come out and start improvising with the audience. And before that point, I had not really felt as though the audience was with us. They weren't laughing at all the jokes. It was like, it was more of an uphill climb for us to get them on our side.
Right.
And from the minute that we broke character, the audience started, they were totally with us, and the show wound up being just an amazing night for us and for them. And when I got off stage, I realized that the thing that caused us to stop the show happened at just about the moment when she passed away.
So crazy.
And we then realized that what the show needed, the opening number needed, was a moment of us just talking to the audience.
Right.
So Mrs. Dewey, I really feel like on her way out, kicked that light off the ceiling and basically said, "Here's the problem with your show, kid," later on, and then flew up to the place's call in the sky. So I just feel very lucky to be back here. I feel very supported by Jiva and by this community. And I feel like I've now talked for about 5 minutes without stopping.
I'm just fascinated. So I did actually, you made a Facebook post and I don't know how, but it was somehow public and I actually ended up seeing it online. I think it's because you tagged Jiva in it and it showed up for some reason. I don't know how I ended up seeing, but I actually was able to read that story and it's very, very moving. And it just really shows your roots to Rochester. And it's Jiva's so big on supporting and finding ways to incorporate the community into its theater. And it's just a testament to see you and your successes also be brought back home to be successful here too. And I love it because even if you're not from here, I'm a transplant. I moved here in 2005, but I'm married here. I bought a house here. I want to start a family here. And my whole family, my family, my side of the family lives up here too now. And my husband is born and raised in Rush Henrietta area, and this is his hometown. So it's regardless of if you're a transplant or not, things like this make you proud to be here. And so it's really awesome to see the pride come back and extend that wealth further to continue to encourage. So even if you did, it doesn't matter how long you talked about it. It was such a fascinating story to see the creativity behind this and really get kind of into the nitty gritty.
Oh, well, that's so nice. You know, and I'll tell you that this is a very Rochester story. This the story of the other Josh Cohen. Well,
can we talk about the fact that there are people who are involved in this? Like, it feels a little like Star, Esquire magazine. You're like, I made references to stories that happened here. And I know it's probably an amalgam of things, and it's not like a true start to finish of an experience that you've had, unless it is.
Well, it is fiction. It is a work of fiction.
Okay.
It is a work of fiction, but there is a lot of things are based on truth.
Right.
I would say that 75-80% of the stuff in here are stories that are based on true stories.
That's awesome.
And a lot of the other stuff is sort of, it works because it will help elucidate a point made by one
right.
of the stories. But the Rochester values of the show, so the other Josh Cohen, the whole thing is there's this guy who is sort of chubby, he's got an unfortunate mustache, and he just can't find a girlfriend, and things are really rough for him. And he does, no matter what, he always tries to be a good person.
Right.
And that's his thing, is that he keeps trying to be a good person and he keeps getting crapped on. And I feel like that is a very Rochester thing.
Really,
I think
is.
People here work really hard to be good people and nice
right.
people. But then you open your window and you're like, another foot and a half of snow fell.
Whee!
And I'm trapped. And there's so much sort of misery working against being a happy person and being a good person, but still trying to. And the thing is, for Josh, it ends up being, I'm not spoiling anything, it ends up being rewarding.
Right.
By being a good person, it winds up working out for him in the best possible way. And that's Rochester. I was saying the other day, I was in Rush Henrietta, over where your husband is from, visiting my buddy Ben Lewis and his wife, and I was driving my really crappy economy budget rent-a-car. Sorry, budget,
yeah.
Don't mean to throw you under the bus, but, but I was driving this tin can on wheels, and I went into a snowbank.
Oh, no.
Yeah, and I couldn't get out because the car was made out of aluminum.
Right, so there's no weight.
There was no weight, and the wheels were basically just paper mache.
Mm-hmm.
And so we were waiting there for a tow, for someone to come pull us out.
Right.
And we're on this country road, and probably 10 cars drove by while we were on the side of the road. Six of them stopped,
no.
slowed down, opened their windows, asked if we were okay, if they could get us anything, if a tow truck was on the way, warning us to clear off our tailpipe. Like, people stopped. In New York City, it would sort of be like, well, that guy's dead. You know, he's done for. But in Rochester, people stop and
right.
they care. And it's those kinds of values. And when I see other performers from Rochester in New York City, even if it's not someone that I know, like Dashiell Eaves or Evan Harrington, really tremendous performers, Tom Deckman, who mm-hmm. work all the time, John Bolton, who you might not necessarily know very well, but if you see each other and you know you're from Rochester, you instantly have a bond. You instantly have a connection.
Yeah.
You know, you throw down Wegmans, you throw down all, you know, Java's, you throw down Jines, you throw down all your favorite spots.
All the good stuff, yeah.
You know, and then you talk about meeting for lunch at Charbroil when you're back in town. But there's a big heart, and there's a lot of performers from here.
I think.
Because of, you know, there's great drama programs here. Sutherland had a great drama program. School of the Arts has got a great program, has gotten a lot of people out of there. I worked last year with some kids from Fairport who started an improv troupe, and it takes me back. This is exactly where I was, exactly what I was doing,
mm-hmm.
you know, just 3 years ago when I was in high school.
Just a little ways away. That mustache says otherwise.
And it's starting to get gray in the mustache. That's depressing.
Does that make you feel bad?
Oh, gosh. Yeah, because I started like plucking. I'm living with my mother while I'm here with my parents. I'm living with them.
You're totally regressing.
I am really having like a backwards moment. And as I'm leaving the house to go to the opening night of the show, and my mother goes, "You look nice. Your nose hair is growing into your mustache."
Oh, no.
There's tweezers upstairs. And so, yeah, I am totally regressing.
Yeah.
But it's great to be able to spend time with my family
right.
in this environment. I am able to look at it with a sense of humor most of the time. You know, I do regress sometimes
uh-huh.
with a 15-year-old while I'm here.
Yep. I'm just like, geez, mom.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, it does. I mean, you've experienced the true millennial regression.
Yeah, I
am. Just move back in with our parents for a little bit.
Benjamin buttoned my way back into my childhood bedroom.
Is everything still the same?
Yes and no.
Ah.
Yes, All the stuff I hid there as a teenager is still there.
Excellent.
None of the stuff I put on the walls or in the closet is mine. It is now a repository for clothes. They are either they're too skinny for at this point. You know, like they all live in my closet now. My bedroom has turned into a museum of my career.
Aww.
So yeah, it's sweet. But like, who wants to wake up every morning with like
looking
pictures of
yourself? That's right.
And things commemorating your own accomplishments. It's like, just in case you forget. And you're like, oh, that's nice. I am still in my childhood bedroom in my parents' house. So I don't know how impressive that is. But it is really nice. And it's great to be around. My folks have always been so supportive. And I love my family very much. As you can tell from the show, family is a very important thing to David and I. So including our families and our parents' names or occupations in the story, very important to us.
Oh, really?
Well, there's, you know, we both come from traditional families of parents who are very involved in their children's lives. And so, of course, that comes out in this character.
Right.
That this character would have the same thing, because if he and I both have had that experience, we have to believe that other people also have that experience.
Oh, yeah.
And what's funny, too, is that ostensibly, it's a Jewish family sitting around eating dinner. But our director, Hunter Foster, who's from Georgia, who said he didn't really meet a Jewish person until college, sees in this scene, he's like, that's my family. Those are my parents.
Oh, wow.
So it's a cultural thing. It doesn't matter where you're from. It's like the food.
Right.
It's like it's basically the same ingredients. It's just different spices for every culture. So this is just,
has
a little more salt and matzo meal.
So let me ask you though, without giving the details of it away, is the answering machine, how true to life is that?
The answering machine is definitely based on truth.
Okay.
It's definitely based on truth. And I will say that my father is a dentist, and I will leave it at that.
Oh, great. You've got to see the show, because it's one of my favorite pieces. One of my questions actually was, why Neil Diamond? So my mom is kind of a Neil Diamond fan.
Oh, yeah.
So of course, I've grown up listening to it. My husband was kind of like, I don't really get it. But it's not really a matter of, you don't get stuck on the music necessarily of having to listen to Neil Diamond in the show, but the way you incorporate it is—it's my favorite song is where Neil Diamond takes over Josh Cohen's life, and it is one of my favorite parts, because
you
I was just like,
Neil Life.
I was like, what's going on here? And it's so great. And I was like, oh, did Neil Life rhyme with real life, and that's how it ended up that way? Like, I was really curious about how that came about. But now that I know that the opening of an N64 game sounds like a Neil Diamond song.
Well, that's how it originally started. And neither of us were huge Neil Diamond. We always loved and respected Neil Diamond. My sister-in-law is a huge Neil Diamond fan, to the point that she's got a vanity plate that references Neil Diamond. So she was very excited that we were doing the show. but, you know, like the more you listen, Neil is one of the greatest tunesmiths of all time.
Mm-hmm.
He does, with very few chord progressions within a song, he has written so many huge hits.
Right.
Because the lyrics say so much. It is, a lot of his songs are sort of about this lonely and sad person, but it's not about wallowing in the sadness. It's always about how they long for something better. They want something more than what they have. There's hope within his songs, and I think that that's something that we keyed into with Neil's music. And so, and the thing is, Josh is not a huge Neil Diamond fan. His apartment gets robbed of everything except for Neil Diamond's Greatest Hits Volume 3, which doesn't even have any of the good songs on it. So he's literally forced to listen to it. So if people are thinking out there, it's like, I have to be a Neil Diamond fan to appreciate the show, or I even have to like Neil Diamond to appreciate the
show.
You don't. You just have to know that Neil Diamond exists.
Yes.
And maybe know that in the song America, he yells out today. Other than that, I think that you're pretty safe.
It's such an amazing play. It's one of those ones where you laugh at parts you didn't realize you were going to laugh at because you didn't know how funny it was going to be until you figured out you related to it, or it just popped up randomly. And, you know, you're just kind of like, I didn't expect that. But it's so brilliant in its simplicity. The staging, I'm always amazed at how well Jeeva fits every single play that comes in. The way that it's produced, the way that it's put together. I mean, you've got this whole second floor to the stage that just makes me really nervous because there's no railing.
There is no railing.
And it freaks me out every time. I'm like, oh God, somebody's going to fall. And I have a real...
Notice I'm never up there.
Correct.
Yeah.
And I would never be either, but on principle alone.
Let me tell you something about Jiva and another thing that's amazing about Rochester. So I grew up going to Jiva as a kid. I was an usher there. Mm-hmm. I saw shows there. I developed my love of theater there. And I have now worked at regional theaters, major regional theaters all over the country. Mm-hmm. I stand behind the claim that Rochester has one of the top regional theaters in the country. The attention to detail of the work here, the professionalism of the staff, the fact that you walk into that theater, the sets are always incredible.
Amazing.
They're incredibly built. As an actor, something can look great, but if you're walking around on it and it's made out of plywood and it's falling apart under your feet, but the attention to detail and the real love that goes into it. Mm-hmm. So you get that Rochester attention to detail at this theater. And with that, it's a joy to work here. I will do anything here because I so believe in the work that they're doing and the mission that they stand behind.
Right.
This is a town of the arts. There's great opportunity here. They are doing world premieres of important new work.
Oh, phenomenal work.
They are doing classics every year. They're mm-hmm. doing, you know, the Christmas Carol that Mark Cuddy directed and adapted, which is incredible and does so well
every single year
of the quality of it mm-hmm. and what they're willing to invest in their product. And my show, which is something that you not necessarily, I'll let you behind the curtain a little bit. You might not necessarily have heard of my show. And as you know, it's difficult to explain what it is. The amount of effort that people like Dawn Kellogg and Kevin Sweeney are putting in mm-hmm. to advertising the show, to getting it out there, basically saying, it's tough to explain what this is, but you're going to have a great time at it.
It's great, yeah.
And hearing you talk about it, and that the fact that Jiva has made it possible for you and I to have a conversation mm-hmm. about it, it's just I feel very lucky to be able to work here, and I think Rochester is extremely lucky to have Jiva.
We are, and we're lucky that they're producing shows from these world premieres, including having yours come back here, because there is that huge sense of hometown pride of you want to go and support this because it's somebody local. You know, what Rochester's put out a lot of amazing things. I learned that French's Mustard came from here, which I did not know.
You sure did. Champion Sporting Goods was here.
Really?
Uh-huh.
Oh, my God. I'm learning something new every day.
Kodak and Xerox and Bausch & Lomb.
I knew about all those, but the French's one I was still really stuck on. I was like, no way. And then you read it, and it says it on the back.
Why do you think the Genesee River is yellow?
For so many other reasons than that. But, so I'm really excited to have you here. I do have another question. Do you have a favorite song?
A favorite song like of all time?
No, like in the production.
Oh, you know, it changes. It changes from night to night.
Yeah.
There's a song towards the end called "What If," which is sort of the slow ballad mm-hmm. that it is. It feels a little like "Play Me," the Neil Diamond song, where mm-hmm. basically it's Josh sort of reflecting on the choices that he's made, and it's a really the way that Alan Schmuckler, who plays the narrator Josh, the Josh 1 year in the future,
so good.
The fact that he can play. I mean, and we haven't even mentioned, by the way, Justine.
Oh no, I was working on that. That's next one. Yeah,
that like the actors in the show. There is no. They are the band as well.
It's so good.
They're so impressive. They play a million instruments. They play 1,000 characters and they switch from instrument to instrument. So that song, Alan, who has played the keyboard already in the show, is playing the acoustic guitar. Mm-hmm. Allison Kelly, who at this point has played the drums, the oboe, the bass, she's playing a stand-up bass.
Yes.
We got Angel, who plays all the drums, is on the mandolin. Like, we've got so many talented people playing all of these instruments, and we have a string section.
You have a trumpet.
We got a trumpet. Sarah Bishop is playing
section,
a trumpet.
Yeah.
James is playing a viola. Megan Loomis, also from Rochester, playing the violin.
Yes.
We just have, it is an embarrassment of riches. And that number is sort of the only song that doesn't have any drums on it.
Mm-hmm.
And it is really tight harmonies. And it says a great deal about regret.
Mm-hmm.
And so right now that's sort of my favorite also, because when we get to that point in the show, I've been running around like a maniac for a while. So I get to just sort of sit and sing for a second, which is a big relief to me.
Oh, sure.
But, I have Neil Life, as you said.
Is my favorite.
And that's a relative new addition to the show.
Really?
Yeah, the opening number... called Losing Everything is only the beginning. That is brand new to this production. So that is, Jeeva has allowed us to come in, and we've been tinkering under the hood of this show that has been around for a couple of years for its next incarnation. They're letting us use this as an opportunity. So Rochester audiences are seeing this production in a way that no one has ever seen it before.
Oh, it's so great.
Nor will again, because we're already making changes for what we're going to do next.
I love it. I think it's so, it is so fun, and it is hard to explain, because that aspect of having the cast also be the band, also be all these other characters that come in and out of Josh's life is kind of hard to pinpoint, but it's what makes it so fun, because it is so dynamic. And I couldn't ever imagine seeing it any other way or trying to enjoy it any other way, because I loved how many moving parts there were. Because you weren't sure who was going to show up next. You're like, sure, Josh Cohen is also, is the two Josh Cohens are the main focus, but the rest of the supporting cast are just as interesting in what they're going to be next and how it plays in with Josh. And like, I love learning about Josh, but I've also really enjoy, because the stage is so open, because it's an empty apartment, you can see these quick little cuts of the different actors jumping around. And I'm like, this is the greatest. I live for those pieces of live theater, because it's so raw and real to me that I'm just like, I'm always like, cool story, bro. What's going on over here?
Yeah, this is a great show for people with ADD.
Yep, that's right.
We will keep things, move a mile a minute.
Everything's up here, they're down here.
And if you miss something, it's cool too. There's nothing that's that important that you can't figure out if you missed.
But it's so much fun, because everybody is so dynamic and so bright. Like, yes, I love the Joshes are so much fun too, because current and past Josh are the perfect dichotomy of each other. But then you've got this awesome supporting cast who are like, it's so much fun seeing like what's going to happen next, who's going to be here. And it was so much fun to watch.
Yeah, it's a credit to our director, Hunter Foster, our music director, Jonathan Spivey, who's in the show. He's the guy who plays the father, Josh's dad.
Oh, okay.
And plays Mr. Conaderis, the landlord.
So good.
So funny. And the casting, Paul Fauquet at Alyssa Myers casting put this group of people together. And had they not, I said on the first day, it was like watching the X-Men come together for the first time, because they all had these super secret powers.
Right.
And we had seen them all audition. So we knew what they were all capable of, but they didn't.
And they were all figuring
all
it out together.
And all of a sudden they're like, oh, I play that too. Oh, so if we switch instruments, and their heads start to explode.
It's like make a montage of like all the people coming together.
But that was also Mark Cuddy, very smart, was like, you know, this show has so much, the music part and the acting part, there's so much to both. Mm-hmm. So he gave us basically, spent the money to spend 3 days of rehearsal in New York, all of us together, to teach all of the music initially.
Oh, wow.
A few weeks before we started, just so people could like get here, get it in their brains before they came in.
Right.
Because we had such a short schedule to rehearse it, and the holidays and everything.
Oh my gosh.
And these people gave up their holidays to be here.
Oh,
you know, we worked over Christmas, over New Year's, over all that stuff. And so we've spent it all together. We really have grown into a family, like Samuel Cohen's family tree. We've all grown together. I love that.
Oh, that's
song
my
too.
Favorite. That's my other favorite song. My husband and I were dying, because I was like, I can't even understand half of what's going on, but it doesn't matter, because everybody looks amazing.
And that's Nikki Moody, your costumer. I mean,
so good.
Someone, if you see her, she's a total punk rock chick. And I'm just imagining her at like the Judaica shop being like, where do I buy one of them fur hats? By, you know, outfitting these
people. Brightener, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for coming in. It's an honor, really, to chat with you. Somebody who's been on Law & Order SVU, man, I'm telling. I'm just, like, so starstruck.
10 episodes. Well, if you see me, that means it's good. So I've been on there 10 times.
Yes, that's what you're saying. You're like, oh, it's just a bit. It's just a part. I'm like, you had more than one episode. You weren't just a dead body.
I play a public defender.
Yes.
Yeah, no, I defend a lot of terrible people. But, like, almost every episode, it's the same exact thing. I come in, and they're like, he can't afford a lawyer. Who does he got? And then you see me, and I'm like, and then they're like, tell us everything. And the guy starts to talk. I'm like, no, wait a second. We're going to get a deal. And then they're like, no deal. And then I'm like, okay, tell them what happened. And then that's it. That's what I do. And as long as I'm not the victim of a sexually based crime or commit a sexually based crime, then hopefully I'll keep coming back, because there still will be poor people that need defending on
Please note, Justin Bieber died, I believe. He was in that show. Oh, on television. The show. Yeah, not really.
A weird way to break that news.
No, I know.
In the interview.
I wouldn't be doing it on a podcast.
Yeah.
Maybe live. No, he died in the show. Like, you didn't have. You're not a victim. So
it's always a big mistake too when actors. You know, because I live in New York. All my friends have gotten a chance to be on that show, and it is a wonderful set and a wonderful show, and I mean it. But when someone gets. They play a murder victim. They always like send a picture to their parents of like, "Hey, I'm on TV," and they show a picture of their dead body, like in the morgue. And I'm like, "That's the worst thing you could possibly do to your parent." Literally the one thing that they don't want.
No,
to see.
Right? You're like, "Thanks, thanks for that."
And can I plug another thing that I'm going to be on soon?
Please
I'm going to be on a new show on Fox called The Resident. That starts this Sunday.
Isn't it the medical drama
the medical
one?
Medical drama, yeah.
Yes. I
think I start into the fourth episode, and then I'll be in again later in the season.
So
all things work out well.
I love medical dramas.
Oh, and this one is awesome.
It looks phenomenal.
It's awesome. Their attention to detail is great, and the cast is great. The writing's awesome, and I feel really lucky to be a part of it.
I'm so excited because now I have even more reason to constantly watch that. Because not that I wouldn't just watch it because I love it. Knowing you're going to be there, and I get to have that moment with my husband, be like, "I know him. I met him.
Yeah,
I got to meet him.
Heck yeah.
Yep.
Heck yeah. Just
and I will. Yep. I'm gonna wear that hat for a while if I can."
Sounds awesome.
Thank you so much for coming
in.
Thank
you. I really appreciate you taking the time to talk with me this long. And just anyone out there who is listening to this, you made it. We're at the end of the whole interview. You made it this far. And thank you for listening. And please come see the other Josh Cohen at Jiva.
It is on stage at Jiva till February 4th. It is hilarious. It's amazing. It is definitely one that you don't want to miss. There's never a bad show at Jiva. There's never a bad seat in the house. And I will say that. I actually said it to somebody at the box office. And they're like, "Well, we can get you." I was trying to rearrange shows for the rest of like my seats, different dates and stuff. And they're like, "Well, we can get you some more seats." And I was like, "No, really, I'm fine anywhere in that theater."
I agree with you. I think it's a really well-designed theater. And because it's what's called a thrust stage, sort of the stage goes into the audience
a little
bit. Is
that what it's called?
Yeah. Proscenium, where it's just sort of flat.
Yeah.
And a thrust is where sort of the front comes out in sort of a pointy point, I call it. That's a technical term, a pointy point.
I think it's so much fun. I love the opportunity to do this. I love the opportunity that I've had to meet you, and I hope you continue to, I know you will continue to excel. We in Rochester are very proud to have you from this hometown and have this be your hometown, even if you are a transplant like me. Thank you again, Steve. This has been phenomenal.
Thank you for having me. I'm very proud to be from Rochester, and I'm so happy to be back here.
Love it. Absolutely love it. That does it for another edition of Rochester Peace Theater. You can listen to previous episodes up online at WBEE.com. Get your tickets to see the other Josh Cohen at Jiva Theater until February 4th. Tickets at JivaTheater.org. And until next time, toodles.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.